From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues to deal with the closing words of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Although some versions of the Holy Scriptures omit these words, Dr. Cairns has shown that there is no basis for such an omission, for the majority of the Greek texts contain this doxology. As we've already seen, these words are intimately related to the entire prayer. In relation to the petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Dr. Cairns has noted that God controls all that can ever tempt us or lead us into sin. Furthermore, as today's program will make clear, God has not only the authority to deliver, but He has the power to do so. Dr. Cairns will continue the message shortly. First, we'd like to call your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nothing Old. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Glory be to his name. All things need making new, for they are sadly battered and worn by sin. It is time that the old vesture was rolled up and laid aside, and that creation put on her Sunday suit. But no one else can make all things new, except the Lord who made them at the first. For it needs as much power to make out of evil as to make out of nothing. Our Lord Jesus has undertaken the task, and He is fully competent for the performance of it. Already He has commenced His labor, and for centuries He has persevered in making new the hearts of men and the order of society. By and by He will make new the whole constitution of human government, and human nature shall be changed by His grace. And there shall come a day when the body shall be made new, and raised like unto His glorious body. What a joy to belong to a kingdom in which everything is being made new by the power of its King! We are not dying out. We are hastening on to a more glorious life. Despite the opposition of the powers of evil, our glorious Lord Jesus is accomplishing His purpose and making us and all things about us new and as full of beauty as when they first came from the hand of the Lord.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We invite you to obtain a copy of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the country of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Or, why did Christ have to be virgin-born? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
What is happening in America and in Britain and Western Europe today, as the covering of the gospel is being removed, as the people are becoming ever further removed from every influence of the gospel, you have even from police forces the warnings. Isn't it strange that they're coming from policemen and not preachers, these warnings? The warnings of rampant Satanism. And I want to tell you, it will not be just National Enquirer stuff. Mark chapter 5. In your lifetime and mine, if God spares us very long at all, will once again become very, very real and common. Indeed, it is more common than you would dare to think. It's not a good picture to start with, but in Mark 5, when you go on, you have this glorious picture. Jesus comes, and he commands the man's deliverance. And the very evil spirits have to bow to him and ask permission even to enter a herd of swine. He's in control. He's in control of the devil himself. You remember the book of Job, that Satan could do nothing except by divine permission. He's in control even of sin. He hates sin. He will judge sin. But yet he maintains a control over it. You remember the words of Joseph to his brethren in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20? They hated Joseph. They sold him into slavery. They fooled his father into believing that he had been killed by a wild beast. Years later, unknown to them, Joseph was elevated to a position of eminence in Egypt. And during famine, they came and they bowed before him, pleading, not knowing who he was, pleading for enough food to keep them alive. And he said, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." He controlled even their wickedness. And he controls the wicked themselves. Do you remember what the psalmist says? The wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. What's the greatest example of that in all history? It's the cross of Christ. You remember Peter told the Jews that by wicked hands they had taken the Lord Jesus and slayed him. But in the very same breath, he says that those wicked hands, those guilty hands, were yet fulfilling the determinate counsel of God. Now there's a mystery, but it's a glorious mystery, that our God controls even the most vicious enemies of Christ and of his church. And he's in control of every situation of life. I said a moment ago, I don't understand the outworking of God's plan and purpose. There are many situations of calamity. There are times when sickness comes. Well, we're human. And because of the fall, sin and sickness have entered into the very life of humanity. There's no escaping that until the day of redemption, when the bodies of the saints are glorified. Sickness comes, suffering comes, things that perplex us. We can't understand. Situations of great calamity that baffle us. You've heard me, or some of you have heard me mention before, and this to me as a young man was one of the most outstanding examples of this I ever knew, was when a young couple from Belfast went in the early days of the Acre Gospel Mission across to Brazil. They were eminently qualified to do a great work. A spiritual couple. He was a great preacher. She had one of the most beautiful soprano voices I have ever heard. On top of that, she was one of the loveliest Christian young women I have ever seen. They made just about the perfect team. Temperamentally, emotionally, spiritually, every way they were ideal as missionary candidates. And out they went. Took the boat from Britain across to South America. Got another boat going up the great Amazon River. Then they started going up the tributaries. She never got any further. Smitten suddenly with an illness. She died on board ship. The first task her husband had on Brazilian soil was with his own hands to dig her grave, because the locals would not dig that grave. It was a little superstitious Roman Catholic town, but they daren't even dig her grave. With his own hands he buried her. He sat down as a missionary to try and learn the language, to try and come to terms with his loss. And the whole of Northern Ireland was shocked and rocked. Why would God do such a thing? It was hard to say why God would do it. It was calamity. Years later, of course, we could see the wisdom of God. But in the midst of all these situations of life that so perplex us, we've got to remember that the Christ who stood on the little boat on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Peace be still," is our Christ. The disciples marveled and they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That is still true. Literally and figuratively, the winds and the sea obey him. He rules every situation of life. These are things that are in the hands of our God. Man, I would hate to live in this world as an atheist. I would hate to live in this world as somebody who gives a nodding acceptance that God is, but yet does not know Christ as Savior. I'd hate to have to go through this world as a humanist, simply depending on the best that I can do and the best that man can make of it. I'm glad when I look at all these things, I can say they're factors that are in the hand of our Father. Once we see that, then we'll pray. When you come up against the powers of darkness, and I am not going to try to get into Certificate X Christian entertainment in this area this morning. There are enough stupid preachers doing that without me adding to it. But I know what it is. I know what it is. Face to face to battle the powers of darkness. I know what it is. I'm not talking theoretically when I talk about Satanism at its worst. I have seen it up close and face to face. But I have also seen that all that darkness is subject to the living God. I've seen the ungodly rise up to destroy both God's people and God's work, and God dealt with them. I've seen Christ walk into those situations of great calamity and speak peace where no one else could speak peace. Therefore, when you see that, when I understand that, when that grasps my heart, when I meet with these things, what is the first impulse? Throw up our hands in horror and say, "What's happening?" Fly in the face of God and say, "Why do you allow this?" No, the first impulse then must be to get to our knees and pray and say, "Lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us from evil, because Thou dost rule over all these things. When you go home, I would invite you to read Acts 4, verse 24 through 30. Read it carefully. Time forbids that I read it this morning. But you'll see that the early church, attacked by their enemies, brought into a place of great danger, went to prayer. Why did they go to pray? What drove them to pray? What gave them confidence to pray through in this matter? It was that they served the God who ruled the very forces that were opposing them. My, what a great confidence that is. I'm glad I serve a sovereign, eternal, omnipotent, all-wise God. I'm glad I serve the ruler. There's an old hymn that says he's got the whole world in his hand. Every time I think of that, I think of listening to Beverly Shea on record singing that years and years ago. Still the world's greatest gospel singer. And if I could sing like one gospel singer, it would be like Beverly Shea. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll be able to do it. Though I very much doubt it even there. But however, because if glorification made that much difference to me, think of what it's going to do to him. He starts off with a head start. But anyway, what a glorious thing. He's got the whole world in his hand. Everybody in it. Every circumstance. Every event of time. Think of what that does to you when you are facing real troubles. This Bible, this gospel, is for real people facing real enemies, real forces against them, real troubles, real sorrows, real sufferings. But it's to tell them they have a real God, a real Savior, and they can pray with confidence, deliver us from evil. We can do it secondly because our God has all the necessary power to deliver us, and He delights to use that power in our sanctification. You see, He doesn't only have the ability. Thine is the kingdom. That's our authority. That is authority. Thine is the power. That's ability. There's a world of difference between authority and ability. Some years ago, I told you the story of what happened on a farm. It's said to have happened on a farm in Northern Ireland. Farmers everywhere, the same as the rest of us, they hate bureaucrats. They hate government red tape. And the government was doing a survey and they sent some office-bound moron down to a farm in some of one remote district of the country, and he was going to tramp all over this farm. He said, "I'm going into that field." The farmer said, "No, you're not." And he stuck out his chest. He says, "I'm going into that field." He said, "No, you're not." "Do you realize I am here from the government? I'm going into that field." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "Well, I'll just show you. There is my authority. I'm going into that field." And through the gate he went. 15 seconds later, he came out like a mad dervish. He said, "Why did you not tell me there was a wild bull in that field?" He had the authority, but he didn't have the power. There's a world of difference. The Lord not only has the authority, He has the ability. He not only has the right, He has the might. And therefore, like the leper of whom we read in Matthew chapter 8, we may come to the Lord Jesus and say, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst." And thank God He replies, "I will."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.